If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. I'm going to read one verse here, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Just a simple thought that the Lord gave me here. So it said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." We know we often look at this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to look at it maybe just a little bit different than, but I promise I'm going to get back around to make a little bit of sense here. But we often look at this passage of Scripture, and there's no temptation out there that the devil only has so many tricks in his bag of tricks. And any time that we have a temptation that arises, if you will look, there's always a way of escape. He said that he will make a way. You know what? That's just the way Jesus works. Sometimes he adds, sometimes he multiplies, sometimes he divides, and sometimes he uses subtraction. But in the case of temptation, he will always add, and it's a way of escape. I'm focusing in on that one word, temptation. Temptation is a trial. I went back to the Greek and the Hebrew and looked there at what the Strong's Concordance had to say about temptation, and it's exactly what I thought it said. It's a trial or a testing period. You know, not ever temptation is of the devil. Sometimes we are tempted for our own good. God will guide us and direct us and steer us sometimes. For what we think is hardships, what we think and see as a trial, God will use it for our benefit. I've done a lot of preaching and studying on Bible numerology. For some reason, that has really intrigued me over the past several years, and I begin to study about numbers. Numbers are important in the Bible. And if any of y'all will remember, there's a number that is associated with tests and trials. That number is 40. And I thought, boy, I've got the right crowd tonight. They've got the young people over there. And do you know that things change after 40? Trey and Shelby, you don't have many years to go. But after 40, it seems like that, you know, everything falls apart. I remember black balloons and this is saying it's all over now. And you know, things change after 40. Ought to be getting a lot of amens right here. You know, even time goes so swiftly. And somebody said the other day, well, it should, you're on the downward slope. It seems just like yesterday we were celebrating Christmas. I mean, time flies whenever you get over 40. I got to looking at some of the things that happens, and after we hit 40, there's more aches and there's more pains. And, you know, you have joint pain and arthritis sets in and things just don't work like they should. My memory is not as good as it used to be. You call it Alzheimer's or part-timers, whatever you want to call it, but I don't have the memory that I used to have. When I get sick, after 40, it takes longer to recover. I'm not just making this up. There's scientific medical studies that will back this up. I'm living proof that after 40, you got hair loss. And not only do you have hair loss, you have hair growth in places that you never thought hair should grow. I know I'm being just a little bit humorous right now, but trust me, I'm going to get around to preaching in a minute. You'll find yourself that an all-nighter is unheard of. It takes on a new definition. You find yourself with sleep loss. Brother Virgil, and I know diabetes and all that goes along with it, but you know, I can't find myself sleeping all night through. I've got to get up and go make sure the bathroom light is still on. After 40. It's harder to lose weight. They say that if you're going to go on a diet, do it before you hit 40 if you're trying to lose weight. Your sense of smell and taste change. I like things now that I used to never liked. Your hearing and your vision changes. Your bone density changes. I heard Brother Virgil a while ago tell his dad to be careful getting off of the stage before Brother Carter turned 40. You would have never said that to him. But we have to worry about falling and slipping. And you know, when we at our, over 40, if we fall, things are liable to break. I could go on and talk about things that changes after 40. But I'm preaching tonight about there's life after 40. 40 is the number of tests and trials throughout the Bible. And we want to focus a lot of times on our test or on our trial while we're going through the trial. But really what he's saying here in 1 Corinthians is there is life after the test. There is life after the trial. There is life after 40. I'm going to go back just a little bit in the Bible. And you remember the story there in the book of Genesis. Whenever the sin became rampant upon the earth and God told Noah, he says, I want you to go and build an ark. He began to build that ark and him and his family entered in. And the door of the ark was shut. Jonah and I had the opportunity to go up in Kentucky and to tour the ark, the replica that they had rebuilt. And there was a lot of emphasis put on the animals that was inside of the ark. How Noah cared for and took care of those animals and what kinds of animals they was and how he would supply the feed for them. And I'll tell you what, he didn't supply food. God did. What kind of sewer system did they have in the ark? And I mean, all kinds of what ifs. We focus so many times on the 40 days and 40 nights that the rain fell. That was the test. That was the trial. But let me tell you something. After the rain ceased, Noah got out and got to looking. He may not have been able to see God during the time when the rain was pouring down and when the clouds was heavy. But I'll tell you what, God seen Noah. Whenever the rain stopped and the clouds cleared, Noah went out and looked up into the heavens and there was a rainbow that God had placed there. After 40 days and 40 nights, after the test and the trial, there was a promise. After your test and after your trial, I'm here to tell you there is a promise after 40. I hope y'all understand me tonight. But you're not too old. I know I'm not preaching to the youth tonight.
But the majority of us in here tonight are over 40. I'm here to tell you that there is still life after 40. Well, let's just scoot on over in the Bible just a little bit further. 1 Samuel chapter 17, a familiar passage. You know this story. The Philistines are gathered in the Valley of Elah. They have a giant that comes out on the battlefield every day, morning and evening. For 40 days he comes out and he taunts the children of Israel. For 40 days he defiles the God of Israel. But there was a little shepherd boy. He come forward. He took 5 smooth stones. He wound up that old slingshot and struck that giant between the eyes. And I want you to think about something with me. Physics will tell you that if something that powerful, with that much kinetic energy, strikes something, they're naturally going to fall the opposite direction. The Bible says that the king, Goliath, that a man that was 6 cubits and a span, he fell face first. I believe that the hand of God was on him, pushing him forward. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. After 40, I want you to listen to this. Giants fall. You may have somebody in your life that is bigger than what you can ever even describe or imagine. You may have somebody, a giant in your life, but I'll tell you what, after the trial and after the test, after 40, the giant will fall. Well, let's go on just a little bit further. You remember in the Bible, Jonah. God told him, you need to go to Nineveh. Jonah had his own ideal and his own plans, and he said, I don't want to go that way. I'm going this way. You ever try to go the opposite direction God tells you to go, it don't work out very well. Jonah, by the time we get to chapter 3 of the book of Jonah, I believe it's in verse 1. I didn't give her the scriptures tonight for that. But I believe it's in verse number 1. You'll read that God gave Jonah a second chance. After he had already prepared a great fish, and Jonah says, I'm the problem, I'm the reason. They throw him overboard. The giant fish swallows him up. For 3 days, you thought I was going to say 40, didn't you? For 3 days and 3 nights, he was in the belly of the whale. By the way, that's a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ's resurrection. He spit him up on dry land. And I could just imagine Jonah's hair, his complexion. Some of you guys have cleaned fish before. And you cut open that stomach. I don't mean to make anybody sick in here tonight, but you cut open that stomach and you can take a beautiful perch or sunfish or crappie that's in the belly of that catfish. And the acidity of that stomach, they turn white. I don't know what he looked like, but I can imagine them looking at him and thinking they'd seen a ghost. But Jonah began to preach. He went to the center of the city and began to preach. 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. The king commanded everyone to repent. You know what? After 40 days, There was grace. Not only do I see in Noah's day that there was a promise after 40 days, Samuel, David, and Goliath, the giants fall after 40 days, but in Jonah, repentance and God's grace after 40 days. You know what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 20? But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I've seen people over 40 get saved. I've seen people on their dying bed get saved. I'm here to tell you, you're not all washed up and used up. God still uses you after 40. Well, I'm going to go on over to the New Testament. Matthew chapter number 4. In verse number 1, I want you to look at this. Jesus was just starting his ministry. It said, and then Jesus, verse number 1, and then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was afterward a-hungered. You ever wonder what in the world the devil could ever tempt the Lord with? He had it all. He has all power in heaven and in earth. What does he have that he could possibly offer you? I have it all. If I have Jesus, I have everything. There's nothing that the devil can offer me that I want that I don't already have. He comes to Jesus and tries to tempt him. Three times he says, it is written. After 40 days, he comes to him. But the scripture tells us that the tempter left him for a season. I want you to look at what happens here at the end of this chapter. Verse number 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were a lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him with great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. After 40, there's still healing and miracles after 40. It's not over. And then I see in Acts chapter number 1, you know, there was exactly 40 days from the time of Christ. He went through the death, burial, and resurrection from the time that he resurrected until the time that he stood on the Mount of Ascension. There was exactly 40 days. During that time period, he spoke with many people. By many witnesses, they seen him. He talked with the disciples and taught them, and he told them that you're going to go through trials. Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter, feed my sheep. He told them that you would be despised and hated because for his name's sake. He told them here in the book of Acts, chapter number 1 and verse 8. He said, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had thus spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him after their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye seen him go into heaven." Our life will be filled with 40-day experiences. But I'm here to tell you, there is life after 40. One of these days, I'm going to lay my head on my pillow, and I'm going to close my eyes in death, never to wake up again here on this earth. I'll wake up in a new world. All the aches and pains and all the things that take place with growing old, if the Lord tarries, one of these days, I'm going to wake up in a new world. There is life after 40. Well, you say, there's hope. There are people out there that they think that this life is, this all they have is this life to live, and after that it's over. But there is life after 40. I remember a little song that we used to sing in church often. It's actually, I think, in our church hymnal. The chorus goes like this: just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight, just a little more troubles in this low, sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gates. There's life after 40. I hope I've said something tonight to encourage you. Don't give up. If it's a promise you need, the promise is there. If it's giant that you're fighting, that you're facing, giants fall after 40. If it's grace, there's grace after 40. There's hope. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep fighting.